is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for December 6th, 2019. Great to be back behind the microphone today. If you want to call the show today, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And you can email the show to feedback@943thebridge.com. Put Rogue Talk in the subject line, and those will come right to me. And you can also look us up on Facebook. Give us a like there on Facebook. And if you want to suggest any possible stories we might want to cover, guests we might want to interview, or you just want to complain about the host, anything is fine, although I would discourage you from that last one. So lots of things going on in the news lately. Terrorist shootings. Of course, we've got the impeachment hearings. Got stuff going on in sports, and Rogue River Chieftains started their basketball season this week, so we got a lot of things to talk about. And one big thing going on with me that I'm going to get to later on in the show doesn't involve Rogue Talk at the moment, but definitely does involve my involvement here with 94.3 The Bridge, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned so I can let you know what's going on with that. But let's take a look at some of the things going on around the country and around the world, and let's start with the terrorist shooting, the most recent one. We've had a couple of them just this week, but the most recent one in Pensacola, Florida, at a naval air station, and there were four people killed and several others were injured. And the Daily Wire is reporting today that Representative Matt Gaetz has said that the shooter was a Saudi national. He was a member of the Saudi military, and that this was a terrorist attack. Now, if you're wondering what a member of the Saudi military would be doing there at this base, at this naval air station, we do train a lot of the different military people that we are in contact with in other countries to familiarize them with how we do things, and just so that when we have to interact with them on the battlefield or in the bases overseas, that they, know how our procedures work. We know how their procedures work. And so those things, you know, we do that training, but unfortunately the vetting apparently wasn't what it was up to. And I've got a quote here from Representative Gaetz, and again, I'm taking this from the story, Ryan Saavedra on the Daily Wire reporting about the shooting and about the quotes from the representative. And as usually is the case, my technology is struggling a little here, so just bear with me. And so I'll read a couple of quotes from this article from Matt Gaetz, Representative Gaetz. Training is a critical part of the mission that we engage in the Naval Air Station Pensacola. One way that we leverage that training is to ensure that our allies around the world are capable and familiar with U.S. systems, that they're comfortable working with the U.S. officers, and that we have an interoperability in our lexicon, and in that way we engage, and in the way that we engage in battle. And so that's the reason we have foreign folks, foreign military members, and other individuals training on our bases. But then he goes on to say This event represents a serious failure in the vetting process and in the way in which we invite these people into our community. So today, as we learn more, as the investigation continues to unfold, I'm going to be very active in working with the Department of Defense and the Department of State to ensure that we have extreme vetting for the people that come into our country and onto our bases and into our communities. So, as you can see, Representative Gates is not happy about this situation and feels that the vetting needs to be much stronger than what it is. And since this article was written, Representative Gates has been on some different shows on the internet. On the internet and on television. And so there's a lots more quotes out there. I'm not going to get into those at the moment. Needless to say, there's going to be, some questions are going to have to be answered and some changes are going to have to be made. But he has made it clear that he considers this an act of terrorism. And again, a lot of things are going to have to be changed and looked into to clean that up. And again, 4 people dead, many more injured. That was the last report that I saw. That may have changed since I looked up the information on this story. So moving on to the story I dislike the most, and I really don't even want to cover it, except that you're almost forced to because of the constant clown show that continues to go on in the House of Representatives. And of course, that would be the Trump impeachment. And as most of you know, I make it very clear on this show, I am a Trump voter. I do not consider myself a Trump supporter. And what is the difference? The difference is, given the alternative, it's a binary choice. I'm fairly conservative. I will still continue to vote for President Trump. I'm not a supporter. I don't go to rallies. I don't go to campaign events. I don't contribute to campaigns. I don't contribute to many political causes in any way. I can't think of a single one I've ever contributed to, and there may be an exception to that, but I can't think of one. So I separate voters and supporters. Now, the Democrats don't. The Democrats all think that if you vote for Trump, that you're as deplorable as they think he is. And so they lump you all together, no matter what your thoughts are. They don't care about your beliefs. They just care that you voted for someone that they can't stand. And that's really what this impeachment process is all about. There's very little for them to go on. So they're trying to build a case because they're going, I'm reasonably sure they're going to impeach him. They want to label him as an impeached president. They know full well there's not a snowball's chance in Hades that he's going to get removed from office unless some information comes out that, really is damning for the president. But at this point, they'll like completely ignore what Vice President Biden did, which was really a step further than even a couple, 2 or 3 steps further than anything that President Trump has done. They'll completely ignore that, and they'll try and make a big federal crime out of a phone call that was really not a perfect call, as the president likes to say, but definitely does not rise to the level of impeachable offenses. We talked the last time I was on the air that they started using the term bribery because most likely because it was in their polling, it probably registered more when they used bribery instead of quid pro quo. We talked about that last time I was on the air. And so they're even changing their tune now. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has recently been quoted saying, relating all of this back to the Russia investigation, saying that Russia clearly influenced our election, she used the word interfered with our election. Well, there's no evidence of that. In fact, I can tell you that Facebook reported, after all of the claims of all this Russian interference, Facebook reported that there was around $200,000 total spent by foreign entities on election-related material related to the Russians specifically, and that more than half of that was actually spent after the election, after the votes were in. So that wouldn't constitute any kind of tampering. But on top of that, the viewership of the videos and the posts that were sponsored outside of the country trying to influence the election, let's put it this way, the typical 5-minute video on PragerU, and if you don't know who PragerU is, that actually helps me make my point here. The typical 5-minute video on PragerU gets more views the day it's released than all of that information put together ever got. Ever. Not in a day. Ever. It did not. The influence of the Russians, or anyone else for that matter, is completely insignificant to the vote totals. Nobody tampered with any voting, which is what they want you to believe, even though they won't actually say that. They say things to make you believe that, but they don't actually say it, because it doesn't happen. In fact, President Obama changed tunes very quickly from before the election to after the election, when then-candidate Trump said that he felt that the election might be tampered with and that he wasn't sure he would concede even if he lost. He would have to make sure it was a fair election. President Obama was Mr. Confident, telling us that nobody can mess with our elections. We're the strongest, most powerful country in the world. Everything is protected well. And then when the story came out that possibly there was a collusion with Russia and the Trump campaign, and then Trump won the election, all of a sudden, the Obama administration, including the president, was, oh, Russian interference, well, wait a minute. First of all, if there was Russian interference, Mr. President, it happened on your watch, and you just assured us just before the election that that couldn't happen. So one of two things is happening here. Your Russian collusion story is a lie, which is the actual truth. We've already found that out from the Mueller investigation. Or you knew the story was fake, but you needed to cover your story. So it was real easy to cover yourself by saying, oh, they can't interfere in our election, when you thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And then when she didn't, then you really had the CYA routine going, that we have to cover up our involvement in Russian collusion, which is where a lot of the fake information came from in the report that led to the spying, and on and on. And I'm not going to get into that whole story. I've talked about that before. I've already spent too much time on this as it is. But what it all boils down to is this. It's funny because, you know, the folks on the left and the media, they make fun of the president when he calls this a witch hunt. Well, I don't know what else you would call it. And in fact, you know, there was some more recent things after Nadler, who's there's no other way to say this. He's one of the biggest liars in Congress. He lied about knowing who the whistleblower was, about contact with the whistleblower in his office. He continues to lie about that. In fact, he still won't admit, even though we all know that the whistleblower contacted his office. He apparently subpoenaed some phone records from AT&T, and when he released his report on his investigation and the little clown show hearings that his committee was involved in, he put out a 300-and-something page report, and within that report was some phone records that he subpoenaed from AT&T from two of Trump's lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, and one of his own colleagues, Devin Nunes. Well, when the Senate gets a hold of this, and I think they will, because I think that they will impeach the president, Pelosi has kind of signaled that, although I don't know that she has the votes yet, but she's decided that they have to go through with this. When they do, it goes over to the Senate, and it's not going to be pretty in the Senate, and I sure hope, you know, I'm not usually one of these ones that says, well, they did something they shouldn't, so it's okay for us to do the same. Well, because of Representative Schiff's lying and his involvement with the whistleblower, it's more than likely he will be called as a witness, and I think it's completely appropriate that they subpoena his phone records, and we file through those and have several days of hearings on those. I'm sure those senators that are running for president right now, I'm sure they're really looking forward to a long trial in the Senate, because they have to be there every day. And I'm sure that they are not really happy that this is going the way that it's going. So this could get really interesting. In a related story, Devin Nunes also has filed a defamation suit against CNN. Apparently, they ran what most of us would consider a hit piece against Nunes, claiming some different things that they say he was involved in, and he, of course, denies any of it. And I'm taking this from The Federalist. Margo Cleveland, the reporter, says Devin Nunes on Tuesday filed suit against CNN for defamation. And I won't quote this word for word because it's kind of funny, but I don't want to take credit for the joke. They ran a hit piece that falsely reported that the ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee met with a former Ukrainian prosecutor in Vienna last December to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. Says both Nunes and his supposed Ukrainian contact, former prosecutor General Viktor Shokin, immediately countered the charge. In his lawsuit, Nunes punctuated the denial by detailing where he had been during the time period in question. And I happened to hear Representative Nunes on at least one radio show talking about this. And, you know, a defamation lawsuit is sometimes a hard one to prove. So whether or not he wins the lawsuit is not really necessarily an indication of guilt or innocence. And it obviously this is not civil. I mean, this is civil court, not criminal court. But you get what I'm saying here. But I think it's pretty clear that this is just part of a smear campaign. And when all is said and done, there may be some really there may be some problems coming down the pike for most specific for CNN possibly. But I you know, if they lose the lawsuit, you know, I don't know what that'll mean for them. But definitely for Representative Schiff, he's painted himself into a pretty tight corner, and subpoenaing phone records of one of his colleagues, pretty underhanded, if not illegal. And so we'll see what happens with that. So that's what's going on with the impeachment hearings. And I didn't really want to spend that much time on that, but I think I touched on all the things I wanted to touch on that. And again, I'm happy to hear from any of you that disagree with me. I've got plenty of people I can contact that agree with me. I'm always happy to hear from people that think I don't have this right. But I've got to say that my sources on this have generally been pretty good. And so far, whether it was on Once for All on Fridays when we were doing that show, or here on Rogue Talk, if I make a prediction about these Trump investigations and things, so far they've turned out to be pretty accurate. So you're welcome to challenge me, but so far my batting average is pretty good. So let's move on to another story of interest to me and maybe to you in sports news from ABC 7 News. The 49ers, one of the 49ers announcers has been suspended, and most likely he's going to get fired. That's usually how these things work out. Tim Ryan is, it pains me to defend him here because he's not one of my favorites. He's a color analyst, and he... I'm looking for the right words here because I don't really want to be too rude or hyperbolic, but I listen to a lot of sports. I broadcast sports myself, so I listen to a lot of them just for my own edification, to learn better ways of doing things, better, you know, more proper terminology that's more relevant to the sport that I'm covering, those kinds of things, because I want to get better. And actually, we're going to talk about that after the break, about my aspirations and my, my involvement in sports. But I find Tim Ryan to be a bit of a bore. There's some other words that come to mind, but we'll leave it with that. So it pains me to defend him here, but here's what happened, and here's why I'm defending him. He was describing in a game with the Baltimore Ravens, a game that the 49ers lost, and he was talking about their standout quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and he really is having a standout year. He's a great quarterback. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. Still getting over a cold, but doing pretty good so far. But anyhow, Lamar Jackson, he happens to be a black man, or an African-American, if you will, although I don't know his origins, so I'll use the first term there. And so because of that, and because the Ravens were wearing their dark jerseys in that particular game, Tim Ryan said that because of the dark jerseys and the color of his skin, when he would make, he'll run option. And if you, for those of you that aren't sports fans or football fans, when you run the option, the quarterback will often fake handoffs to the running back and keep the ball, but he'll do the same motion every time they run the option. Sometimes he hands it off, sometimes he keeps it. The point that Tim Ryan was making was because of the color of the jerseys and the color of his skin being a black man, it was similar to the football color, and it made it hard for the defenders to see whether or not he had handed the football off or he had kept it himself. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, because it's nothing racial. I mean, the fact that his race makes his skin darker makes it racial. But beyond that, he didn't make any assertions about, you know, Lamar as a quarterback or as a person, or that his actions were wrong in any way. He was just pointing out that it was easier for him to conceal the ball because it blended in with his skin better than, say, a white quarterback, or a quarterback wearing a white jersey as opposed to a black jersey as well. Because he did mention the jersey as well as the skin. Probably not the smartest thing to say on a broadcast. And as someone who's stepped on his tongue a few times during a sports broadcast, I understand. I think about those things during a broadcast. But while I agree that, you know, in hindsight, you may just want to leave that one alone, even, you know, maybe mention the jersey, but don't mention the color of his skin. But again, as much as I don't want to defend Tim Ryan, it's a perfectly legitimate thing to say and to notice. And there's nothing racist about it. There's nothing, you know, I don't have any problem with it. And in fact, a couple of the 49ers players have come out and backed him up and said, look, we definitely were having trouble seeing the ball. We don't put anything on, you know, on the quarterback. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't cheating in any way, but, you know, There was, again, a couple of their players coming out and saying, look, we don't have a problem with what he said. And they were both black players or African-American players, whatever you prefer. So this whole controversy is ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as the Peloton one, which I'm not going to talk about, but you can look that one up. And honestly, this man is probably going to lose his job. I've seen Tim Ryan doing national games, regional coverage of national games. I've never liked him as a color announcer, but I don't want him to lose his job. He's earned his spot. He's working for the 49ers, and there's nothing wrong with what he said. And again, you're welcome to disagree with me. Send me an email. Call me up. But I just don't think there's anything wrong, and some of the 49er players agree there's nothing wrong. I don't know if Lamar Jackson himself has had any comments on this. Maybe during the break I'll see if I can find anything on that. But this should be a non-story. If he had said the same thing, if the ball was white, if it was a baseball, and he said that the color of the white player, the pitcher's skin, was obscuring the baseball and making it hard to see how what his grip was or anything like that, or, whatever, nobody would say a word. But because it involves a black player or an African-American player, somehow it's a problem. Again, he made no disparaging remark. It's ridiculous. And I don't know. Knowing the NFL will probably change the color of the footballs. They'll make them all green now so that we can't have this kind of controversy anymore, because that's usually what the NFL does. They flounder for a year or two, and then they fold and kneel, a little Freudian slip there, and they give in to the pressure, which is ridiculous in itself. But yeah, so look for green footballs coming to the league very soon. All right, so that's it for the national news and sports. Let's get to the Chieftains sports before we head to the break. The Chieftains kicked off their basketball season this week on Wednesday night. They traveled to Myrtle Point, and the girls won their opener. They jumped out to an early lead, and then they held on for a 48-44 victory. And they had strong performances from Alyssa Sizemore and Jaden Spaeth. And some very aggressive defense helped them as well from Dylan Nielsen. So good job to the ladies. Every player in uniform got playing time in that game. It made it tough on me, I tell you. Coach DeBolt was getting fresh bodies in there. I mean, almost every whistle at times. I mean, every whistle, I'd look to the table, and there was two or three or five more people coming into the game. And so, hats off to Coach DeBolt, not only getting the win, but getting a lot of the young girls some playing time. Some of them only played a minute or two, but they all got into the game. And it was a fun game to watch. Had a couple of kids foul out at the end of it, and they still were able to hang on for the win. There was one freshman. I'm sorry, I don't have all the names in front of me, but that got some pretty significant playing time, and it was just a really good team effort. And so they got their first win of the season. They don't play again till next weekend. I'll get you the schedules, the upcoming schedules, at the end of the show. The boys played a close game. They started out trailing 10-0 in the first quarter. They came back to make it 13-10, so they were only trailing by 3 at the end of the first quarter. And then they kept it close all the way. Aiden Canoe hit a clutch bucket at the end of the fourth that sent it into overtime. And he also added a 3-pointer in overtime. Top scorers in the game for the Chieftains were Garen Decker, Diego Agosto, and freshman Sam Hagg. Sam happens to be the son of the coach. He actually wasn't supposed to start in Wednesday's game, but due to some other situations with some other players, he got the start. He played really strong. He had to play mostly in the post, and although he is, for a freshman, is a bigger kid, throughout the league, he's going to be smaller than some of the other posts that he plays against, and he did a fabulous job. So it was a great effort from the boys, but they lost 66-61 in overtime. The And that loss was due in part to a lack of focus down the stretch. There was a couple of instances where the team kind of let down. They lost their focus. One of those instances was a scuffle that kind of ensued. It really started with a misunderstanding, and it turned into kind of an ugly scene. Caden Tognoni came off of the bench to defend one of his teammates. He was given a technical foul and was asked to leave the bench area because he was already out of the game. He had fouled out of the game already, and then he was ejected from the game in this incident. And it really started again with a misunderstanding. One of the Bobcat players was getting up off the floor. One of the Chieftain players was straddling him, and he was trying to get off of him. And he felt like he was, you know, riding on him and trying to instigate something. So he jumped up and tried to start something. It involved a few players, and then again, one of the Chieftains coming off the bench. The result of it was a flagrant foul on one of the Bobcat players, a common foul on one of the Chieftain players, and the technical and the ejection of one of the Chieftain players. But really the biggest outcome from that was the Chieftains let down, and they played about a minute of really ugly basketball. They let the Bobcats stretch their lead. Coach Hag called a timeout, really gave them a pretty good chewing out, which they deserved. And they played better after that, but unfortunately, they had already let the game slip away. But again, a great game. Unfortunate that it kind of ended with the incident that happened. But those things will be ironed out, and I don't expect to see anything like that going forward. But again, both the Chieftain teams played well, played better than I expected. And again, I didn't have low expectations, but a lot of key seniors were lost from last year. The girls were playing without one of their better players, John Winares. She was late to join the team, and so she was not eligible to play in Wednesday's game. But she's one of their best players from last year, and they played without her and still won. So I was pleased with both the team's performances overall, and I think it'll be a fun season. And we'll talk about the upcoming schedule at the end of the show. We'll take a break here so I can catch my breath, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The government of Saudi Arabia has condemned a fatal shooting by a Saudi aviation student at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida. U.S. officials are investigating Friday's attack for possible links to terrorism. The student opened fire in a classroom, killing three people before a sheriff's deputy fatally shot him. A national security expert is warning against jumping to conclusions. The Heritage Foundation's Charles Cully Stimson says just because the shooter was a Saudi national does not mean the attack was an act of terrorism. Major stock indexes are ending a choppy week with solid gains after the government reported that hiring in the U.S. jumped last month to the highest level since January. Companies that stand to benefit the most from a growing economy rose the most Friday. Technology and industrial companies climbed, as did banks. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 337. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NBA action last night. The Rockets end a three-game skid by outscoring the Raptors.
Houston's Ben McLemore had 28 points and a career-high 8 three-pointers as the Rockets defeated Toronto 119-109 at Scotiabank Arena. McLemore's night found himself 3 points shy of a career-high, going 9 of 18 from the field. James Harden added 23 points, while Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Pascal Siakam was the Raptors' top scorer with 24 points. The win snapped the Rockets' three-game road losing streak. John Leatherby, Toronto.
Elsewhere, it was the Nuggets over the Knicks, 129-92. The Wizards got the better of Philadelphia, 119-113. It took overtime, but Phoenix mastered New Orleans. Final score there, 139-132. College Hoop, 14th-ranked Auburn over Furman, 81-78. This is SRN Sports. In the National Hockey League yesterday, it was the Blackhawks over the Bruins 4-3. In overtime, Carolina 3, San Jose 2 in a shootout. The Rangers beat Columbus 3-2, Colorado 3, Montreal 2. The Islanders over Vegas by the same score in overtime. It was Arizona stopping the Flyers 3-1, Minnesota 5, Tampa Bay 4. Dallas beat the Jets 3-2 in overtime, Flames 4, and Buffalo 3. NFL Thursday Night Football, the Chicago Bears find themselves back in the mix for an NFC playoff berth after handling the Dallas Cowboys at Soldier Field. Mitch Trubisky threw 3 touchdown passes and ran for a score in the Bears' 31-24 victory over the slumping Cowboys. Trubisky shook off an early interception near the goal line to complete 23 of 31 passes for 244 yards, helping Chicago improve to 7-6 on the year. Allen Robinson caught 2 passes. Anthony Miller had 1. This is SRN Sports.
Corner, Smith and Lewis, the guard. Chicago with Weiss and Sloan at guards now. The front line of Manning along with Love and Borwinkel. On the left of the ball as Bobby Lewis gets a Schluter pick, shoots a jumper over it. No good to the left. Manning leaps high to rebound. Fires it out to Weiss. Weiss forecourt with a left-hand dribble. The Warriors by 2. Hook pass to Love. Out the foul line. He wheels. Goes to the edge of the lane. 10-footer is in and out. Rebound deflection. Manning takes it. Dribbles out to the right. Fires it out to Weiss. Over the shoulder toss to Borwinkel. Foul line jumper. Back rim. No good. Gamby rebounds. Warrior ball. Now the pass out to Lewis into the forecourt. Bobby has trouble with it. Holds it finally. It was really a bullet. Over to Ellis on the left. Going toward the corner. 27-footer. Jumper. Good. Not quite into the corner, but...
And that was the voice of Bill King, and the late Bill King. And I first heard about Bill King as a Golden State Warriors fan, listening to him on AM radio way back in the day. That happens to be a little bit from a game against the Chicago Bulls in 1970. I don't think I listened to this game since I was only a year old in 1970. But the reason I play that is when I started into sports broadcasting right here at 94.3 The Bridge, almost 5 years ago, or actually it was over 5 years ago. This is my 5th year doing sports for Rogue River High School here at 94.3 The Bridge. And I'm happy to say I'm the first sports reporter or first sports broadcaster for The Bridge doing Rogue River sports. Now, there's other stations have done their sports, you know, in the past, but since 94.3 The Bridge decided to take on doing Chieftain Sports, they brought me on board from the beginning, and I discovered really quickly as I started doing it what my inspiration was, what I wanted to do with this. And I realized that Bill King was a huge idol of mine. I never really thought about doing sports on radio or on television or anything like that. I mean, it's kind of like music. I mean, when you're a kid, you hear your favorite band, and maybe you sing in the shower or in the car, and you think you could be, you know, the rock star or whatever. And so I'm sure there were times where, you know, you mimic the radio announcers. I do it all the time. Sometimes, you know, making fun of a certain call that I hear, sometimes just to try and emulate. But I never really thought about it as a career or anything like that. And I got the opportunity to do that here at The Bridge, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity and for what I've learned over these almost 5 years. Again, we're in our 5th season of Chieftain Sports, but I realized that I wanted to be like Bill King. And the reason was one, because he was one I knew. He was the Warriors announcer for a time. He was the Oakland Raiders announcer for a time. I knew him best with the Oakland A's because I was a season ticket holder for many years. And up until his passing, he was the main play-by-play guy for the Oakland A's. And I realized that I just really idolized what he did within sports broadcasting. And he was a bit of a rebel. There were I was listening to an interview with him where they asked him about one of his first television broadcasts. He was working for the Warriors, and they were going to televise some games between the Warriors and the Lakers. And now this is, you know, this would be back in the, I think in the late 60s. So this was, you know, TV games were a big deal. They weren't, you know, you couldn't watch every single game on your favorite, you know, cable channel. And they were going to do, I think it was six games. But there was an objection by some of the TV people because he had a beard. In fact, I don't know what he had at the time, but the years that I was familiar with him, he had one of these kind of pencil twisted type mustaches, and he had the goatee, or the, you know, I guess together they consider that a Van Dyke, but again with the kind of not quite Raleigh Fingers mustache, but similar. And so he was a very interesting character. Well, facial hair was not really welcomed on television at that point. And so the first television game that he did, he never appeared on television. They did a pregame show with a couple of clean-cut guys in their suits. Then they went to the broadcast. It was his voice, but they never showed him on screen. Then they went to halftime, and they brought back the clean-cut guys with the suits and put them on the air to do the halftime show. And then he finished the broadcast and was never seen on television. And it was just kind of an interesting start to his you know, professional or career doing professional sports, because he had just been with the Warriors for a short time when he got that opportunity. And it was a fun story. But so he was always an interesting character. But the thing that I remembered the most about him, and it goes back to his days with the Warriors, I remember listening to games on my transistor radio. And for the young people, if there's any young people listening to my show, and I hope there is, think of a transistor radio as, you remember the iPods that had FM radio in them, but you had to have the headphones plugged in because that was also the antenna. Okay, well, blow that up to about the size of an iPhone, but much, much thicker. Then you put an antenna that pulled out of it, you know, one of those telescoping antennas that pulled out to about 2 feet long. And then you had these dials on the side that you had to, you know, physically move. There weren't just little digital buttons that you touched. Excuse me. And you had to roll the one dial to turn it on and to set the volume. And then you rolled the other dial to tune in the station. And in the early days, they were just FM or AM radios. And so it was really not a great signal. It was hard to find the station you were looking for. Even if the radio had the numbers on there, they didn't help that much. And then if you had a really nice one later, when I was a little older, it had AM and FM. And if they happened to be doing, you know, you could listen to music on FM. In fact, I used to listen to Dr. Don Rose on KFRC. And but anyhow, I'd listen to Warriors games on my transistor radio, and it was Bill King. And the thing that Bill King did that I try and emulate, and I guarantee you I fall way, way short. I try and get better each time, is he could paint the picture like no one I had ever heard. And that little clip that I played for you there was a perfect example of that. When he would do these games on radio, you could see where the players were because he painted that picture in your mind. You knew right where they were. Sometimes you knew their mannerisms. I mean, all kinds of things like that. And he was just so good at painting the picture. And he was good at describing the situation. I had a clip from the Raiders, and I'm not going to have time to play it today, but he just was so good at making what most people would probably think is just an ordinary football game, but he would make it like it was this huge life event. And there's a go to YouTube. There's a broadcast, one of his broadcasts doing an AFL championship game that the Raiders happened to lose against the Jets. And you listen to the end of that game, the last 5 minutes or so, you know, whatever you can take. But I mean, there's parts where he's describing the situation like it's this, almost like it's a life and death thing. And he just made sports so much fun. And he's made me want to be like that. But even more so, the opportunity to do the sports here at 94.3 The Bridge has made me want to potentially do this as a career. Now, I'm pretty old to be starting a new career, but as most of you know, I do landscape maintenance, and I really love my job in a lot of respects, but the physicality of it isn't my favorite anymore. It's at age 50, it's not as much fun as it was even 10 years ago. I love my customers, and I love being in business for myself. I love the relationships I've developed, but I've just grown so attached and so in love to doing this, and I have a new opportunity, and that's what I was alluding to at the beginning of the show. I've been asked to start covering some games for Table Rock Sports, and Table Rock Sports they do streaming video. They actually started out doing radio, and they've moved to streaming video. They do a lot of the local teams, mostly the 6A and 5A teams. They're moving into the basin a little bit, picking up some teams over there. They've recently added Phoenix High School over here in the Valley. Grants Pass is a recent addition to their lineup, and it's all streaming video. And more importantly, for what I'm aspiring toward, they cover most of the OSAA playoffs for every sport, boys and girls, every single sport at every level. There's a few exceptions. There's a few that they don't do, but most of it, they're the ones that cover that. And I have an opportunity to work with them, and it's going to start out sporadically during basketball season because I'm here doing the games. My first priority is to do the games for Rogue River here at 94.3 The Bridge. But I've discussed it with Pastor Gigline, and starting with baseball and softball seasons, I will be primarily working for Table Rock Sports, which means I'll no longer be doing the Rogue River games. Now, I may jump in and fill in where I can, or maybe even just be a guest color announcer with whoever ends up doing the play-by-play. I obviously still have a huge connection to Rogue River High School and to the station. I'm not giving up Rogue Talk. I'm going to continue with Rogue Talk. I love doing this show. I love doing the interviews. I would love to get some more help lining up some good interviews, because I think that's the best part of this show. So my affiliation with 94.3 The Bridge is not ending, but I will be stepping away from the sports after the basketball season, not completely, but primarily, yes. And because of my aspirations to continue moving up in the world of broadcast sports, this is a great opportunity for me. Again, I discussed it with Pastor Gigline, and he agreed. He knows what my aspirations are, and he was very supportive. It's not easy for me. I love Rogue River. I love doing the sports. I love the kids that I'm involved with already, and it's going to be a big change. I'm doing my first game tonight. Again, during basketball season, I'm just doing a few sporadic games to kind of learn their computer system, get familiar with the way they do things, and familiar more with what the OSAA requires, because they are on the NHS at NHS, N, NFHS network, I think it is. I'm screwing that up. So they have to do everything by the letter of what the OSAA says. So I have to learn all of that stuff. So basketball season, I'm going to kind of get my feet wet. And then hopefully by baseball season, I will be primarily doing Grants Pass sports. And so I'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that. I appreciate all of the support I've gotten. The kids and the parents and the teachers and the administrators all have been super supportive. And again, I'm not separating completely from Rogue River or Rogue River Sports, but this is the next step for me in kind of transitioning my career and my life, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm scared to death, I'm excited, and again, I'm so grateful for the opportunity I've had here. And again, I'm not leaving. I'm just kind of shifting, and Rogue Talk's going to continue. And again, hopefully I'll have some opportunities to jump in on a few Rogue River games here and there, but primarily I will be with Table Rock Sports, and I hope you'll check them out. All of their regular season games are free. You do have to pay to watch OSAA playoffs, but that is not their choice. That's because of the network fees that have to be paid. So I am running really short of time. I'm going to take a quick break. And I'm not going to have time to plug as many things as I wanted to, but we've got some great events coming up, and I want to plug those things. And so next week, we're going to have all the Christmas events and all the end-of-year events, and I hope to even maybe get a guest on. We got one event we're going to be plugging that I definitely want to get to, and maybe I can get her in here to talk about that. I won't say who it is until I line that up, but a lot of events coming up for the holidays, and we're going to talk about all of those next week. I'm going to take a quick break and have some final words. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The government of Saudi Arabia has condemned a fatal shooting by a Saudi aviation student at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida. U.S. officials are investigating Friday's attack for possible links to terrorism. The student opened fire in a classroom, killing three people before a sheriff's deputy fatally shot him. A national security expert is warning against jumping to conclusions. The Heritage Foundation's Charles Cully Stimson says just because the shooter was a Saudi national does not mean the attack was an act of terrorism.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
Back to Rogue Talk, and again, I used up all the time. I don't have a lot of time to plug some events, but again, tune in next week. There's some great holiday stuff coming up. We got a big New Year's event I'm going to be talking about, and I'm really looking forward to that, to talking about that. It's a sober event, and I'm always in favor of that kind of an event. So, and again, I'm hoping maybe I can get a quick interview to talk about what that one's about and where it's going to be and all of that. But there's other events. Of course, there's Christmas bazaars and things going on. And so we will do all of that next week. Maybe I'll devote a lot of that show to the holiday things coming up. The one thing I will mention, the tree lighting for Rogue River is tomorrow night. I believe the time is 6:00. I don't have that in front of me. I apologize, but it's definitely tomorrow night. Boys basketball, Rogue River Chieftain basketball, tomorrow night at 7:00. At James Martin Court, so get on out and cheer on the boys. If you can't make it out, you can listen right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And if you want to check out my first toe into the water of streaming video sports, you can go to tablerocksports.net, and it's Grants Pass Girls at 6:45. And again, I'm not going anywhere, just stepping away from the sports after basketball. I love being here, and I love having you here, and that's going to do it. Everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.